من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
Fiqh is divided in four major parts. Ibadah is drawn from the fiqh of the hearts. Then business transactions with all of its deals and family provisions, including the meals. Legal procedures, offenses of law. Under these titles, let everything fall. Me and my Lord, me and my skills, me and my family, me and my community. Our attention is trained on these four. We don't skip steps, and we don't mix issues. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kayf halukum?
Alhamdulillah, we have with us today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. How are you, Sheikh?
I'm doing fine. Alhamdulillah. Ni'ma al-hal. We're in a blessed situation. And we're constantly being tested. I would like to, for our class, to take a sidestep for a second and deal with a very important fiqh issue that was brought to my attention about 2-3 days ago. And that is about the person who was accused of the Quran teacher that has just been accused and made a, international spectacle for his, not just his pornography, but his child pornography. Okay. So I would like us to, as a court, because if there is going to be a court, the first court should be an Islamic court. Okay, what would we say had we received this particular complaint? So I'd like you to look at the complaint. I'm going to send it to the group right now. Actually, I sent it to the general fiqh look. If you can pull it out of the evidence, Mr. Togro, and start reading it to us. And I would like to go over it as a Muslim faqih to discuss it.
Naam, I see that. The document you posted in Timbuktu for Everyone, Telegram group.
Yes.
Okay, inshallah.
So I received this a couple of days ago from, I received this a couple of days ago regarding this issue, and I was asked to look at it. And I didn't get a chance to look at it. So I want to show you what your job is sometimes and how would you look at this, and what would you have to say after reading? Because, generally the public doesn't get to know some of the details of these types of cases. But now let's say, our objective is to be fuqaha. Is that correct? I mean, judges and, muftis and advisors, nasah. Well, these are some of the issues that you'll see in that position. What will you say about it? What will you do? Okay?
Yes, sir.
So go ahead. No. You are the, the judge and the faqih in this particular issue. You all. Open it up and read it out loud, please.
Naam. This is the United States District Court for the Northern District of Alabama. United States of America versus Wissam A. Sharif. Case number 24. 689.
Wissam what?
Wissam A. Sharif.
Sorry, Wissam who? Okay, go ahead.
Criminal complaint. I, the complainant in this case, state that the following is true, to the best of my knowledge and belief. On or about the dates of September 27th through October 15th, 2024, in the county of Shelby, in the Northern District of Alabama, the defendant violated Code Section 18 U.S.C. Section 2251 A and E, offense description, conspiracy to produce child pornography. This
okay,
criminal
so now
complaint.
We write down. One second. So the first thing that we have to understand is what is the charge going to be here, and the charge is what?
charges conspiracy to produce child pornography.
Okay, would that be a crime in Islam?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What's the proof?
The proof would be La taqrabu zina.
La taqrabu zina. Aywa, alhamdulillah. All right, so that's excellent. Why? Why is that a good proof?
Because la taqrabu zina, it includes doing zina, and it also includes acts that lead to zina.
Right.
Which are also haram.
Which would include conspiracy to do zina, right?
Yes.
All right. So child pornography is another crime for another reason. Why?
Why? Because it involves the abuse of children.
And children are considered innocent miskins that are to be protected, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the child has to be protected from things that it cannot protect itself from. Does that make sense? So this this is also considered abuse of the child. So not only is it the zina, but it is the abuse, the dhulm put on the child, because now we don't know what type of zina they're talking about. Maybe if you know this is going to ruin this child's life, right? And if someone does a certain type of fahish to the animals and stuff like that, the punishment is to kill the animal. Okay. What we have noticed about child pornography, where the child sex act is done on the child or to the child, then the child may be perverted for the rest of its life.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That's right, Sheikh.
So we have to identify what the crime is first and what Islam says about this. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Laysa minna, he's not one of us, who does not يحترم الكبار ويرحم الصغار. He's not one of us, one who does not show respect to our elders and show mercy to our children. Okay? And so Islam has an Islamic interest in the protection of children. Does that make sense? And making sure that children are protected from hunger and from being abused. And this is definitely dhulm. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we have two crimes here according to Islam. Dhulm, the oppression of the child, and the zina. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, read the last sentence and start again, please.
This criminal complaint is based on these facts. Please see attached affidavit, continued on the attached sheet. Complainant's signature, Eric Salvador. Eric C. Salvador, FBI, S.A., sworn to
special
before me.
Agent.
No, I'm special agent. FBI special agent. Sworn to before me and signed in my presence. Date, October 29th, 2024. City and state, Birmingham, Alabama. Judge's signature, John H. England III, U.S. Magistrate Judge. Affidavit in support of criminal complaint. I, Eric C. Salvador, being duly sworn, hereby depose.
Okay,
and
before
say,
you start, before you start, we have Ustaz Abu Sa'id that came in the room, and he needs to understand what's going on. So we are going over the issue as an Islamic. Oh, he left. Okay, well then continue.
He just came back.
Okay, Abu Sa'id, we're going over the issue of this Muslim Hafiz. I don't know if he's Hafiz or not, but he teaches Tajweed, from what I understand, being accused of producing child pornography. And so we're looking at it from an Islamic perspective. What would the ruling would we give based on the facts that were presented? And we have his criminal complaint. You can pull it up. I put it in the Timbuktu for all if you want to see it. And we're reading it with an eye of a faqih and a qadi to determine what should we say about this particular issue. And fiqh class is the place to do that. So pay attention. He already started the criminal complaint. Go ahead, continue to read.
Naam. I, Eric C. Salvador, being duly sworn, hereby depose and say. Introduction and agent background. 1. I am a special agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, assigned to the Birmingham Division. I have been a special agent since March 2017 and am currently assigned to Squad 3 of the FBI's Birmingham Division and to the FBI Birmingham Division's Child Exploitation and Human Trafficking Task Force. My duties include investigations.
Okay, the term child exploitation is an excellent term that Islam can agree with as a term that we would have a particular type of interest in maintaining, because this is the vulnerability that we're talking about to the child. Continue.
Nah. My duties include investigations related to internet crimes involving computers or electronic devices, child pornography, sexual exploitation of children, human trafficking, and various other violent crimes against children. Prior to my employment with the FBI, I was employed as a law enforcement officer by the state of Alabama for about 9 years. 2. My duties include the detection and investigation of alleged crimes, including but not limited to investigating crimes against children and adults, exploitation of children, and child pornography. I have received training in investigative techniques involving computer-facilitated exploitation of children. I have conducted numerous investigations on these types of crimes, and I have assisted other law enforcement agents with investigations of this nature. 3. I make this affidavit in support of an application under Rules 3 and 4 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure for a warrant authorizing the arrest of Wissam A. Sharif. As a federal law enforcement officer, I am authorized to execute arrest warrants under Rule 4C1 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. 4. The factual information supplied in this application and affidavit is based upon my investigation and personal knowledge. Information provided to me by other law enforcement officials and witnesses, and information from records checks conducted by law enforcement officials, support employees, and myself. I have not included each and every fact known to me concerning this investigation. However, I have not excluded any facts or circumstances that would tend to defeat the establishment of probable cause. I have set forth only the facts that I believe are necessary to establish probable cause to believe that Sharif has violated 18 U.S.C. 2251 A and E, conspiracy to produce child pornography, and that accordingly a criminal complaint should be issued for Sharif. I submit this affidavit in support of a criminal complaint charging Wissam A. Sharif with violating 18 U.S.C. 2251 A and E, conspiracy to produce child pornography. Statutory authority. 6. 18 U.S.C. 2251 A makes it a federal crime for any person to employ, use, persuade, induce, entice, or coerce a minor to engage in sexually explicit conduct for the purpose of producing a visual depiction of the conduct, if the person knows or has reason to know that the visual depiction will be transported in interstate or foreign commerce or mailed, or the visual depiction has been transported in interstate or foreign commerce or mailed. Seven. 18 U.S.C. 2251E makes it a federal crime for any individual to attempt or conspire to violate this section, 18 U.S.C. 2251. Introduction 8. On October 15, 2024, an individual identifying herself as Wissam A. Sharif's wife telephoned the Alabama Department of Human Resources to report seeing videos of a minor female child watching adult pornography on Sharif's phone. The caller stated that the child's mother was explaining the sexual acts to the child in the videos. 9. The caller stated that she recognized the minor child.
Okay, so let's write down this particular point. So now the person here is the wife, right? The child's mother is in the video along with the child watching child pornography, right? Is that what we understand?
I was trying to piece that together from this. So it says the wife of the defendant telephoned the Alabama Department of Human Resources to report seeing videos. So she saw a video of a minor female child. An individual identifying herself as Wissam A. Sharif's wife telephoned the Alabama Department of Human Resources to report seeing videos of a minor female child watching adult pornography on Sharif's phone.
Sharif is the male then, okay? You're right?
Yes, Sharif is the defendant. The caller stated that the child's mother was explaining the sexual acts to the child in the videos.
So it says the child's mother was explaining the sexual acts to the child in the video. That's what I heard. That's what I'm saying. So it wasn't the male alone. It was a female that's explaining the sexual acts, a child's mother. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, continue.
9. The caller stated that she recognized the minor child, hereinafter MV, and MV's mother, MV. Hereinafter suspect
minor
two.
Child. So MV is minor victim. Minor victim's mother. MV's mother. Go ahead.
Hereinafter suspect two. In the videos on Sharif's phone. She recognized both MV and suspect two because she met them in person at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Additionally, the caller reported that MV and suspect two are residents of Redacted in Chelsea, Alabama. 10. Furthermore, the caller reported seeing messages on Sharif's phone directing suspect 2 to produce additional sexually explicit videos of MV for Sharif. 11. The caller reported seeing the messages between MV's mother and Sharif in the Telegram Messenger application. 12. The Telegram Messenger application, commonly known as Telegram, is a cloud-based cross-platform social media and instant messaging IM service. Telegram allows users to exchange messages, share media and files, and hold private and group voice or video calls. Telegram offers end-to-end encryption in voice and video calls, and in optional private chats, which Telegram calls secret chats. 13. According to the El Maghrib Institute, Sharif is listed as a specialist in teaching Quran recitation and retention, and he leads the Quran Revolution program for the El Maghrib Institute. Sharif has taught over 25,000 students worldwide. Al-Maghrib Institute lists Sharif as an imam in his biography online. Probable cause. 14. On October 15, 2024, investigators with the Shelby County Sheriff's Office identified, located, and made contact with both MV and Suspect 2 at Redacted in Chelsea, Alabama, which is in the Northern District of Alabama. Investigators identified MV as having a date of birth of Redacted. In a post-Miranda statement, Suspect 2 spoke at length about her religion. Suspect 2 stated that Sharif was...
Post-Miranda means that they were read their rights to remain silent.
No. In a post-Miranda statement, Suspect 2 spoke at length about her religion. Suspect 2 stated that Sharif was her teacher in an online school about the Quran. During her training, Sharif told Suspect 2 that achieving an orgasm would help her spiritually and allow her to communicate with Allah better. Suspect 2 expressed interest in helping MV become closer to Allah as well. 16. Suspect 2 bought MV...
So if we can understand from that statement that Suspect 2 is the wife or the mother of the child, of the minor victim, saying that she wanted to help this child get closer to Allah through, again, sexual, orgasm. Okay? Is what we understand from her statement. Correct or not?
Nam, that's right.
Continue.
16. Suspect 2 bought MV a vibrator sex toy and showed MV how to use it on herself. Suspect 2 would stream adult pornography for MV to watch while she was masturbating. MV learned how to use the toy on herself, and Suspect 2 would film MV performing sexual acts on herself.
So this lets us know that MV is not an infant. Okay? The minor victim is not an infant. And that could mean that the minor victim is under 18, according to the American law system, but old enough to know that she has private parts. So it could be the fact that this child or this person, MV, is muballigh, okay, over the age of having her menses, but under the age of 18 in American law. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
And this is because a minor victim that is a child, an infant, would not be able to use a vibrator on herself. Okay. And so this is a mother-daughter type thing. And to me, it seems as though the daughter is at least at the age of having her menses. Allahu A'lam. And I have 12 daughters, and they do not become even having the female body parts until around the time they start having their menses.
I see. Okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. 17. Suspect 2 would produce videos of Suspect 2 and MV performing sexual acts on themselves and send them to Sharif via the Telegram app, so Sharif could guide them and let them know.
Okay, so Suspect 2 is the mother again. She is taking videos of herself and her daughter doing these sexual things and sending them to the Imam or the what's the guy's name? Sharif?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I forgot his name. Sharif, by way of Telegram, right? And so, in a way, he's receiving these from this person, okay? Right? Not in a way, but he's receiving this from this person. Go ahead.
Nam. So, Sharif... 17. Suspect 2 would produce videos of Suspect 2 and
envy... You were going to say?
I was trying to find my place, Sheikh. I think... I'm just going to read the whole section again. 17. Suspect 2 would produce videos of Suspect 2 and MV performing sexual acts on themselves and send them to Sharif via the Telegram app, so Sharif could guide them and let them know how far they were progressing on their quest to become closer to Allah. 18. Following the non-custodial interview of Suspect 2, multiple electronic devices and sexual toys were seized from Suspect 2 and MV's residence, redacted. 19. On October 17, 2024, the Shelby County Circuit Court issued a search warrant for Suspect 2's electronic devices. 20. A forensic analysis was completed on Suspect 2's electronic devices. A review of the forensic analysis revealed a private chat thread in the Telegram app between Suspect 2 and Telegram user Wissam. UEID 114-807-3958. Telephone number redacted 6195. Telegram user Wissam's profile picture was a picture of Sharif. 21. Suspect 2 was identified in the private Telegram chat thread as Telegram user Hamna, UEID 59441356 48.
See, read that last part again. Telegram user, who's Hamna?
Suspect 2 was identified in the private Telegram chat thread as Telegram user Hamna.
Okay, so Hamna is the mother of the minor victim in this case, and she's in the Telegram group. Hamna took video of herself and her daughter, the minor victim, having sex with one another, and sent those videos to Sharif via Telegram. Go ahead.
Now, 22. On October 25th, 2024, AT&T provided a response to a previously issued administrative subpoena requesting subscriber information for telephone number, redacted, 6195. AT&T provided the follower subscriber information. Provided the following subscriber information: MSDIN redacted 6195, MSDIN active July 6, 2009 to current. Name Wissam A. Sharif. Address redacted, Euless, Texas 76039. 23. The private chat thread on Telegram began at or around September 27, 2024, at 12:20 p.m. CST and ended on or around October 15, 2024, at 2:27 p.m. CST. 24. Throughout the Telegram chat thread, MV is referred to as Hamma by both Sharif and Suspect 2.
By who? Muhammad?
MV is referred to as Humma, H-U-M-M-A, Humma, by both Sharif and Suspect 2.
So Sharif is the male, Hamna is the mother, and Humma is the minor victim. Go ahead.
Now, 25. On or around October 8th, 2024, the following conversation between Sharif and Suspect 2 occurred in the Telegram app. Wissam, you are special and safe with me. Your secrets and our family time is a secret. Wissam, you've been lied to by men for so long it's impossible to believe someone truthful. Wissam, when can Papa work on Quran with Humma? 26. On or around October 13, 2024, the following conversation between Sharif and Suspect 2 occurred in the Telegram app. Wissam posted the following video message, file name, Telegram, cloud, document 1, and then a string of numbers. You want me to read the numbers out? Or can I skip it?
No.
Okay. Length.
Skip the numbers.
Okay. Length 12 seconds. Descriptions. The video depicted Sharif shirtless and wearing headphones. In the video, Sharif stated the following. Ah, I want to kiss Huma like that. Sharif then makes kissing motions with his mouth and lips. Sharif begins to moan. Are you two licking my elbow? Hamna, yes. Hamna, here. Wissam, love you. Hamna, I popped. Hamna posted a series of video. Ya Allah. Sheikh, this is somewhat explicit. Can
read? No, you have to read the thing. Don't act like you can't read. Read the thing. You're not a virgin.
Okay. Hamna, I popped. Hamna posted a series of video messages. A few of the video messages can be described as the following: file name, Telegram, Cloud, Document 1, and then some numbers. Length 17 seconds. Description. The video depicted MV nude and using a sex toy on herself. MV is watching adult pornography on a phone that is propped in front of her. File name, Telegram, Cloud, Document 1, string of numbers. Length 25 seconds. Description.
Okay, so now we notice that So now again, we make a note that MV, the minor victim, cannot be an infant. Okay? This has to be a female that is old enough to get off on watching pornography. So this, to me, puts the age of this young girl at least 10 years old or older. I would even say a little bit older than 10 years old, at least 12 years old and older. And Allah knows best, because they're not going to give you the age of the minor victim. And one of the reasons they don't do that is they say they want to protect the child's age. However, one of the real reasons they do it is because they want to determine what a minor is and not the sunnah. And if they say that this child is not a child because she's mensing, then it's a grown woman. And then there's no crime. Exactly. You know, so there's a hypocrisy in their law that allows minor children to become men or women if they want to, have sex, you know, outside of the home if they want to, but not inside of the home. You get my point? And I'm not saying that it's lawful for them to have zina anywhere, but if your law is that they can make zina and they can change their sexual identity at these young ages, then why is it that they're not allowed to have sex with their parents? And you know, in the same vein, okay? Of course, we as Muslims, we don't agree with that at all. However, you know, we have to point out the inconsistency of the law and of the circumstances. But at least now, I do not believe that Miss Homa is a minor victim, according to Islam. It does not sound like she's a minor at all. Wallahu a'lam. Continue. And I'm not saying she doesn't have a perverse situation. One of the things that we know in the United States, that Alabama is well known for, incest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's well known. This is not an unknown practice amongst the people in Alabama. And some, you know, Western Virginia and some other states as well, you know, and it's known. So for her to have a sihaq relationship, a bisexual relationship with her mother, is not strange for anyone who grows up in America. The problem is we keep constantly telling these immigrants when they come to our country that they don't know kufr like we know kufr. They don't know our country and the type of things that people do. And so they can get, because it seems to me that the first victim here was Mr. Sharif, because they sent him the things and he didn't know how to handle that, except that he fell victim to his obsession. After that, the perversions opens up, they make it private, they set the, then I think the other co-conspirator should be the Telegram people. Hmm. As they are monitoring it, they recorded it, they knew what happened, they didn't report it, but they facilitated it and continue to facilitate it. You know what I'm saying? Then isn't the same reason they saying that they bombed those hospitals in Palestine? Oh, they had these hospitals there. They didn't. These are holes here. You know, they're all Hamas. Well, why isn't it the same rule here? There's no way they can say they didn't know the content. They preserved the content and were able to pull it. Mm. They made the content. They encrypted it. You get my point?
Yes.
So go and change it.
Nah. File name, Telegram, cloud document 1, string of numbers, length 25 seconds, description. The video depicted MV nude, watching adult pornography on a phone and utilizing a sex toy on herself. Hamna, I get pleasure in imagining you with others. Wissam, replied to one of the previously posted videos. I love the Huma thought. Hamna, yes. Wissam posted the following video message. File name, Telegram, cloud, document, 1, string of numbers, length 18 seconds. Description. The video depicted Sharif shirtless and wearing headphones. In the video, Sharif stated the following. Huma, I do love watching. I love when you are buzzing. Is it okay to see while you buzz, even if you come a little bit in the video? We are all buzzing and stroking. It feels so good. 27. A series of back-and-forth messages between Sharif and Suspect 2 occurred on October 13, 2024. Shortly thereafter, Sharif posted the following message to Telegram. Wissam. File name, Telegram, cloud, document 1, string of numbers, length 11 seconds. Description. The video depicted Sharif shirtless and wearing headphones. In the video, Sharif stated the following. You can tell me on your phone. You are the brown. I love you. You can tell me on your phone. Oh, Huma, 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 Huma. Sharif appeared to have an orgasm. 28. Throughout the course of the chats on Telegram, Sharif and Suspect 2 traded multiple video messages back and forth. Some of the video messages sent by Suspect 2 contained videos of MV using a sex toy on herself. Sharif and Suspect 2 routinely traded links to adult pornography on the internet, and these links were used to show MV while she was utilizing the sex toy. Conclusion. 29. Based on the foregoing, I have probable cause to believe that Wissam A. Sharif has committed the offense of conspiracy to produce child pornography in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2251 A and E, as charged in the accompanying criminal complaint. Request for sealing. Your affiant further requests that the court order that all papers in support of this complaint, including the affidavit and the complaint, as well as any arrest warrant that may be issued therefrom, be sealed until further order of the court. These documents discuss an ongoing criminal investigation that is neither public nor known to the target of the investigation. Accordingly, there is a good cause to seal these documents because their premature disclosure may seriously jeopardize that investigation and officer safety. Eric Salvador, Eric C. Salvador, Special Agent, Federal Bureau of Investigation, sworn to telephonically and subscribed electronically before me this 29th day of October 2024, signed John H. England III, United States Magistrate Judge. The end.
Okay, so now, Islamically, do they have a case?
Islamically, do they have a case? Well, we have to go back to the charges then. The charges are...
Charges that he's going
to... charges are committing an act that leads to zina, or committing some form of zina. And the second charge is abuse of a child.
The charge of zina would not work in Islam because they did not make zina. And Islam demands that there is contact, you know what I'm saying, of him entering her. You understand?
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear
you.
Yes,
sir.
It seems like this is his wife, the older one, the mother.
You think so?
How is that? Because how is that his wife? One is in Alabama and he's in Texas. And what do you call it? It seems to me as though she was a woman obsessed with him and she contacted him, as it says in the beginning. When are you going to start with, you know, when is daddy going to start, teaching Quran to Homa, okay, to the daughter? It seems to me like the woman is a new Muslim or a convert Muslim, and she has a sexual relationship with her daughter, you know, and she contacted this dude, sent him videos of her and her daughter, you know, getting off on each other. Dude didn't know what to do with that, but got off on it and stepped and kept in contact with him, and now he's paying for it.
It could be. It just seems like, for example, when they said, you are special and safe with me with your secrets, and our family time is a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like
You know what? As a teacher of Quran all these years, you know, whenever you go with other people's family, you know, they always include you as a member of the family. Okay, they always include you as a member of family, and you, out of respect for that, include yourself when you're talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard so many different secrets of people, you know, that it's just, you know, normal as a sheikh. You're going to hear people's secrets. You're going to be privy to the stuff that only people inside the family are going to know. Okay, and again, it shows that he doesn't know this lady, but she exposed herself to him because he says, "Oh, you've been lied to by so many men." Is, you know, he's the square here. He's the one that's being, to me, he's the victim.
Yeah, I think he's square, but I think he's running game too. I don't think he's so much of a square for him to say something like that. It just sounds like he's running game. You've been lied to.
You know, when I say he's a victim, is like, I don't think he would have, he didn't initiate this. You understand what I'm saying? He don't seem like the one that initiated this whole issue.
I can't say that based on what we're reading. I don't think we have enough evidence to say that he could not have initiated. Yeah, he could have. The lady definitely have some type of perverted relationship, the mother and daughter.
Actually, it is ijma' on the fact that zina is always open by the side of the women. Ijma', because the rule is that there could never be zina without the approval and the rida of a woman. Otherwise, it's called irtisal.
Agree.
You understand?
Right. I understand that. I'm just saying that.
Okay. Dad, I'm listening.
I'm just saying that it seems that, you know, as a man, you had to plant the seed, and if she takes it, then you keep going.
Yeah, this is true. That's what they say. That's why a zani yatu a zani. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, sir. I was saying stuff. I don't think you guys could hear me though. But
okay. Well, what were you saying? Now we couldn't hear nothing you said.
Some of the things I just mentioned, like I thought that was probably his wife, his secret wife, and then his
wife.
His other wife found out about it. I definitely think he married this girl though, but I think they was on some weird stuff though. They were doing.
You know, you're right. It might be. You know what? It could be he married this girl secretly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It could be that his secret wife. I could see that now that you say, because then you say, yeah, his wife is probably the one that saw it on his phone. Because, right, his wife is the one that turned him in, right?
Yeah, right. For sure. I definitely think it was his wife. But I think they definitely, based on this, was doing some crazy stuff. some difference.
Now, I don't think the wife knew was doing it, but you know what she found out. She leveled them out.
I meant the second wife, the suspect two.
Hamna, right?
Hamna, yeah. I believe that possibly the MV, she probably was like 17 or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think that the girl is no minor according to Islam.
I agreed. Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? Period. But you know, it don't sound like that way to me.
It does sound like you mentioned that this is probably a convert or somebody. It does not sound like this is someone from. I mean, I don't want to make any type of judgments, but it sounds like a convert. And like you mentioned, he didn't know what to do with it. She approached him at some type of conference, and seems like somebody took advantage of somebody.
He thought it was cute. He thought, you know, he I think partly, you know, just to, I'm telling you honestly, I think partly is funny. What's funny is that we constantly telling these dudes, yo, America's wilder than anybody could even imagine. Okay? Unless you grow up there and you see this stuff, you'd be like, yo, how the hell this happened? No way in hell. Nah, but you live there long enough, you'd be like, yes, this is not so strange. You know, there's some crazy stuff that be going on in the United States. You know, and it's not crazy in the United States. Like, it's not strange at all that this lady's having a bisexual relationship with her daughter. That's not, you know, an outlandish, crazy idea.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. Certain parts of the world, certain type of people. Yeah, I don't think it is. I'm certain parts of America, like you mentioned.
Right.
Alabama,
it's not unbelievable. It's not inconceivable. I mean, of course, we find it strange and outrageous, but it's believable in America is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You
know,
I agree.
You hear about it all. When I was in the Marine Corps in the 80s, many guys will be coming back to base talking about they had sex with a family. You know, I went back and, you know, I had sex with this lady and her child, her daughter. But it wasn't a child. You know, they didn't consider it a child. It's some teenage girl. Okay? Many. And I just think that it's also the hypocrisy of the United States system. Because, again, being in the Marine Corps, everywhere we went, there were prostitutes laid out for us. Meaning the generals would go and talk to the pimps in that particular country, and they would line up a whole bunch of tramps for the Marines to party with during the times we were in those countries. Okay? And I don't think near one of them was over 18. Ever. Because in most of the places, an old prostitute was 16, 17 years old. Okay? All of the girls were younger than 17 years old, I would imagine, from what I've seen. So it's like crazy. You tell these guys they do this, and then they come back to America, and they can't do that exact same thing that you just paid for them to do.
Yeah.
I think you made some good points about the hypocrisy, about allowing the minors to change their gender and have sex on the low and stuff like that. But you made some pretty good points.
Yeah. It's how can you be outraged? Because he did it. He jerked off to this girl and her mom's, you know, having sex in front of him. And they send it to him. Now his mistake was he shared with them, sent to them websites to go to have her look at it, and the other lady make a video of her looking at it. That's his crime. That's the overture that he made. Okay? So to me, I see this as the spider web of pornography in America. He's the victim.
Well, they're all victims. And I want to go back to this concept of child abuse. Yes.
In actuality, the young girl is a victim as well, but that's America. It's not illegal in America what they do. They didn't. You get my point? This type of thing, like we said, is not abnormal in the United States.
It may not be abnormal, but it is illegal though.
Agreed, Tyler. I miss Atula. That was a good point. I agree.
But I want to talk about this the concept of child abuse, because I think that's the pivot this whole discussion is revolving around now. It's my personal fic that showing pornography or making pornography accessible to a child is a form of abuse, for sure.
Of course.
Is a form of sexual abuse, in fact. That's part of my fic. I feel very strongly about that. However, the question.
My connection. You repeat what you just said. You said that my feeling. I didn't hear what you said.
My fic is that making pornography accessible, not just showing, but even making it accessible to a child, is sexual abuse. That's my belief. Strong. However, the question here is. Is it still abuse if it's in Islam? And the Sheikh agreed, which leads me to think that I'm Islamically on the right track with that. But the question is, Islamically, would that still be abuse, considered abuse of a person, if that person is muballigh, Islamically, to make pornography accessible to that? Because I believe it is. I would suggest that it should be considered sexual abuse of that person. If you're in a position of authority. Right.
Okay, listen. After the person, your phone is messing up.
Really?
After the person.
Is an echo.
After the person becomes, turn off your microphone, Mr. Tugel.
Yes, sir. Naam, Sheikh. I'm listening.
Okay, I muted you because it was your sound is buzzing really. Okay. Try it again. Unmute yourself. Let's hear you again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much clearer. Barakallahu fiqh. So,
okay.
After a person is reached the age of mukallif, nothing anyone else does is their fault. It's someone else's fault. Everything they do is accountable in every way. My actions call on me to blame. Okay, so their actions come. Now, has this child been perverted? Yes. The child has been perverted by the parent, okay, who has taught this child to indulge in this relationship, this sexual relationship with her. Okay? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, yes, she's a victim of her mother from that part, that angle and everything like that. But as far as her being a minor, I highly doubt that this person is a minor, according to the fiqh of Islam. Okay.
Let's say that. Okay, let me keep this discussion going, because for just for debate, right? Let's say that MV in this case is actually 10, and she has just turned mubalik, like just recently gain the ability to do these acts, and her mother is like trying to show her the ropes with this guy, right? She is mubalig technically, but you still think this is not sexual abuse? Like,
I didn't say it wasn't sexual abuse. I didn't. Okay. Listen, there's a difference between establishing the facts and, you know, then determining what the what would we state about the hukum regarding that? Okay, the person has been perverted. You see, when the Sharia, let's talk about al-sihaq. Okay, some of the ulama say that with regards to sihaq,
what is sihaq?
This is when two women are having a they're kissing and giving each other a 69 and that type of thing to each other. It's called sihaq. Okay?
Understood.
And that, by definition, it doesn't, some of the ulama I've heard say, there is no had for that. There's no had punishment for that. Islam only mentions the had when it regards to two men. And it doesn't mention the had when it's involving two women. Okay? So it's not that it's not considered fa'alun la tuf'alu, you know, something that you should not do. But there are certain crimes that there are no head punishment for. For example, hypocrisy is not punished in this dunya. Hypocrisy is only punished by Allah, you know, yawm al-qiyamah, or in the grave, Allahu a'lam. So the ruling is this. What a person does in their home cannot be investigated. Okay, a person is not allowed to peek into someone else's home and see what they're doing. However, once it comes to light, okay, now we have to make a ruling on it. So I would say that the woman, the MV, is a victim of her mother, because we can tell that she is a young version of her mother, and that she has been influenced by her mother's promiscuity, you know, and to do these things, and impressed upon her to do these in front of this man, to draw this man in. Okay, we've seen this in states a number of times where a mother who doesn't have a husband will use her daughter to draw a man in to marry her so that he can have sex with both of them. Well known in the city. The man will marry the girl so he can have access to both of them. Okay? So, that's what it be. And I know a couple girls, well, I know one girl in particular who got an abortion because she had got pregnant from her pops. And the moms knew. You know what I'm saying? You ain't never seen nothing like that out there, Abu Saeed?
A girl getting pregnant by her dad?
Yeah.
I've seen that, but I don't know if it was like consensual. I think it was more of a, they say like guy raped her. Or he was just having sex with his daughter.
Yeah, I know. I was always raped because she's a girl. The girl was, you know, the dude was having sex with her before she even knew what sex was.
Right. You know, but so yeah, a lot of people's families, actually, I've heard. So what's I can't happening? Say a lot, but some people.
No, I'm not saying a lot. I'm saying, but it happened. I mean, every neighborhood I know, I heard about somebody, stuff like that happened.
For sure.
You know, it's not normal, but it's not abnormal. It ain't like you're gonna be surprised. Oh, yo, word, that's what's up with her, you know? Because you know that's just the thing. And I know a girl who blamed her moms. You know, they made a movie about that. Actually, they made a movie because it happened so much. A girl who became a nympho. Because her moms was letting dudes, you know, were letting the father have sex with her. And since the girl was a baby, and then the girl became promiscuous, and then I guess the father died, and the moms, like, you know, put her out or something like that. And then she approached the moms when she got cured, you know, from that. And I know a girl that came to me, she was a nympho. And she said she became a nympho because her mom's, you know, was letting dudes, when the thing happened in Louisiana, when the flood came, and they was from Louisiana, and they had to become refugees, so they had to go to Texas, And then they went to L.A. and they were staying in hotels. The American government was putting them in motels. And in order to make money, her mom, now she's a little girl, like you said, like 10 years old or 9 years old or something like that, would let men come and sleep in the room with her for extra money. She said as far as she can remember, she'd be in the bed and a man would come in the bedroom and have sex with her. Okay? She said she didn't even know that you could tell a man no. She didn't know nothing about that. You know, she just thought if a dude reached his hand out and took you, you do whatever he tell you to do. And it got so bad that she said she couldn't sleep without having sex. And then she saw a video. I mean, she was in college, and she saw a Muslim guy, you know, talking about, you know, Islam and everything. She thought that was a great thing, and so she became Muslim. Right? And, you know, immediately she got married. You know, she got married to the same dude that gave her Dawah, because, of course, she's got a good sexual bedside manner. The dude checked that out, and he married her. But when he had two wives. So when he wasn't there, she can't stay home. She start coming, creeping around. He's like, yo, what the hell's going on with you? What do you mean? Why you ain't in the house? Where you going? You know, she's like, nah, you got to come home. So they brought her to me. We figured it out, what was the problem is, and we went and we approached the moms. And she told the moms straight to her face, yo, you know what you did to me, what you used to do and stuff like that. And the moms cried, right? They broke down and cried, okay? And eventually the mother accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Mashallah.
But the girl still has problems. The girl still had problems. She still has problems. You know, she has more control of herself. She had a baby, and she gave the baby to her husband, the first husband. She, you know, because the guy said, no, I can't stay married to a girl that can't stay in the house. You know, I can't do that. Every time I leave the house, you find you in a hotel. So, what do you call it? She gave birth to his child. She gave him the child. She said, I don't know what to do with this child, and I'm scared. I don't want this baby around me. So she gave it to her co-wife, her ex-co-wife. And the co-wife straight, you know, is raising that child right now. An old girl's still trying to figure out how to live. You know what I'm saying? So I know a number of circumstances where mothers have turned their daughters out. You know, in Islam back in the New York days up in Manhattan, where there was this one girl who she just was like, yo, she said she was getting raped by her pops her whole life till she got out of high school, and she got pregnant, and her moms beat her up when she got pregnant.
So, you know what I'm saying? Sheikh, yes, this I understand. So in this case, this girl, this daughter, she was abused, isn't it?
Obviously.
By her mother. Obviously, yes. Even though she was old enough physically, like she was mubellig, like you said, she was 10 or 11. So physically she was over the age of adulthood Islamically, but this would still be considered abuse. It has to be. Isn't it?
If she doesn't have rushd, maybe that's why they say that it is, because they don't have rushd.
Rushd, yes, that exact. That's what I was trying to get at. Is there a concept of a person being able to know right from wrong that comes after balagha?
Yes, you're right. He hit it on the head. She's not. Yes, she's not. Yeah, it's rushd. Yeah, of course. Alhamdulillah.
So, given that definition, there might still be a crime here. Is what
I'm
saying.
No, might still. There's definitely a crime here, actually.
It's definitely a crime.
Yeah, thank you. There's definitely a crime. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not. I felt like I was crazy for a second because the conversation was sounding like we were deciding it wasn't.
No. We're just saying, no. My whole statement was just to say that this is normalized in the United States. That's what I'm saying. My statement wasn't to lessen the severity of the crime.
And there's definitely hypocrisies as well. Definitely get that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the United States doesn't have a leg to stand on because they have normalized this behavior. And if this is conspiracy, then why isn't the app under the conspiracy laws as well? Mm. They also have an agreement with this guy to allow him to send this stuff. You see now, you get my point?
Yes, sir.
I would definitely say that to say it's normal, I wouldn't say this stuff is normal, but I would say it's definitely prevalent where you hear it, it's not. Because, I mean, even if I hear this stuff, it's still like, yo, they was tripping. But I don't think it's normal where everybody, normal meaning people will accept it.
Like, okay, what right. I'm saying is that we see it happening and nobody does anything about it.
I think people haven't just found out about it. Like, they just found out that this guy was doing this. I think if people knew about this stuff, I don't think people would just sit and allow this type of stuff to happen.
No, I don't think that, people are going to say anything, are going to allow him to do that. What I'm talking about is the first crime is the crime with the mother and the daughter.
Yes.
Agreed.
But that's like, she's a suspect. She's definitely going to jail for that.
No, well, I'm not talking. She's going to go to jail for the pornography, but then what about the what they did to the daughter? The daughter's going to just for that. At least, huh?
She's going to get charged for that as the mother putting her minor child in that situation.
Okay, you missing my point. My point is that's the second crime. First crime was teaching her to do it. The first crime was her having sex with her daughter.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's where the daughter is at right now. Because the daughter wasn't refusing. The daughter was down with it, right?
Yeah, but she's probably pressured because that's her mom, though.
Of course she's pressured. Ain't no. I'm not saying that the daughter is a victim. That's what I'm saying.
No.
But the first crime against her came from her mother, like you said, having intercourse with her. Okay, a child see, especially a female child, does not put up any type of barrier between herself and her mom's.
Yes, sir.
A male child, even as male gets older, as a small baby, going to recognize he's a man and his mom's is a woman. And he starts acting possessive and grabbing, and he's a boy. You see a lot of manliness from two-year-old boys. But girls, they feel, hey, I'm still under the shade of my mother. And they're under her leg forever. And they take all directions from their moms. Where a boy, as he starts getting older, he stops taking directions from her. And he'd be like, yo, I'm the man in the house. I'm just putting up with y'all till I get, to start making commands and stuff like that. That's it. So the crime is, her tarbiya to that child. Okay?
Nah. Agreed.
So now what do we say?
What do we say? Well, this is allegedly, this is a criminal complaint. This is not a decision. So we should be sure we mention that none of this is all just a complaint, right?
Okay. But you know what? This is it has shuhada. It's not just a complaint. It's laid out adilla, unrefutable, irrefutable adilla. Okay?
Good point.
Okay? There's irrefutable adilla from him. He is a shahid and she's a shahid. And because it is recorded, it's like it's for shuhada.
Mm.
Okay? Remember the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the shahada of Mu'az when he said it four times. One person. Mm. I'll tell you another story. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa. One of the companions of the Messenger of Allah was accused of zina. And Umar said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." A Sahaba to the Rasul, subhanAllah, musiba. So he made dua and make it not so. So they said, "Do we have shuhada?" So they brought four people, four men. The first one said, "I bear witness that I saw so-and-so having sex with so-and-so. I saw entrance." The next one came, clear shahada. The next one claimed, clear shahada. The third one was a young man, Musalfala, right? They said he was a person of philosophy. And he said, "I saw legs up and I saw legs down and I saw the crack of his behind." Okay? And Omar said, "Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, the one that saved the companion of the Messenger of Allah from al-Hajj, you know, from, you know, this zina." His shahada was not accepted as being clarity that he saw them having sex the way he said it. So he beat the other three people, the head of Qadh, established on them. And one of them got mad at Umar and said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa ashhadu anni ra'aytuhu yatazal, you know, yazni ma'a fulana," and he named both of them like that. Umar got upset, said, "I'm going to get you, I'm going to give you the head again." Right? And Ali jumped up out of his seat and said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, laysa laka ilayhi sabilan." He said, "You got no way that you could ever do that." Okay? He said, "Because if you do that, that would be accepting his shahada again. And that would make it four shuhada." Okay? Arba'ata shuhada. And then that would mean you would have to establish the hajj on the sahabi. Right?
Wow. That's amazing.
And so Umar sat down. And then on his deathbed, the same sahabi, he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah wa ashhadu anni ra'aytu fulan yani yazni ma'a fulana." You know, and he died. He took that to his grave. "Yo, I ain't lying. Y'all beat me, gave me the head. Nah, I saw what I saw. It's a clear witness, you know?" So, whatever. So, alhamdulillah, from that narration, we learned that if a witness is recurring witness, yo, it can be accepted as another witness to that.
I see.
So, alhamdulillah. So, this guy has this thing on video. They say that video, Ibn Uthaymeen and Ibn Baz, radiallahu anhuma, they used to say, you know, video and recording is a stronger, you know, proof because it's irrefutable.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So he definitely has this proof against him, and the proof that dulu ala annahu fa'ala fahisha ma'a nisa. He felt he did some fahisha with two women. Fahisha that leads to zina. And it led to sihaq of these two women. Or not led to it, but, you know, aided in it and promoted it. And, you know, and he is a fasik because it's open. It's public, you know. I see him as a victim only because the system is set up to set you up. They claim he made an agreement with Telegram that they would have private conversations to do whatever they wanted to do. So Telegram has to be a co-conspirator, man. Okay?
It's Ajib that I looked him up. When I first became Muslim, I think I watched some videos or I think I bought a course for Tajweed for him.
Hello. Yeah, same here. I when I was a new Muslim, he came to our masjid in Raleigh, and I attended his Tajweed class too. I remember it. He was a very charismatic person. The room was packed.
What'd you say?
The room was packed in the Tajweed class.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make it easy for Islam.
Amen.
Islam is not affected. Because they really, I think that they're going to run with this because they're going to say, look what the Muslims did. No?
I suspect that too, especially because the timing. You know, it's weird how it's right around the election. You know, I don't know. I'm just suspicious. I guess I'm just too suspicious. But I can't not see a connection with stuff going on right around the election.
they want to put Islam down as well, and he gave them an opportunity. You know,
and they want to intimidate Muslims, right? They want to intimidate Muslims with this. You know, cow us down, and
yeah,
make us embarrassed
up.
And ashamed to say anything. Yeah.
Has any imams anything spoke out about this or anything like that?
Well, his job, the Maghrib Institute, fired him.
Okay.
They fired him. That's about it. Okay. But I was asked to make a statement about it, so I was wanted to see what you guys said.
Man, no. I don't think you really need to take a statement. I don't think you need to. What do you think, other brother? Yeah, I don't think it's needed. I mean, what are you going to say that everybody else? You know, what are you going to say, Sheikh? What do you think you should say about the situation?
I would say, we're constantly telling y'all don't know the extent of kufr in the United States, and that these telegram groups and these things like that are designed to give you room to follow your obsessions, but the minute they get a chance, they use it and flip it against you. And that's like the thing of Barsisa.
The story of Basisa, I think that would be good put on head.
You understand? That's what I was saying.
I understand. But perhaps he grew up here, though. Maybe he was born and raised.
A lot of these guys are, it's your first time you grew up in the States. And you're in the immigrant, you know, situation, there is a lot of pressure for them to conform.
Great.
And so they have to realize that the strength that they have is their Islam. Because they don't have, you know, I was telling this a long time ago, they don't have crackheads in their family.
That's true.
Most of them are not coming from broken homes. They don't have the same dysfunction that we have.
Agreed, no doubt.
They can't imagine it, really.
Yeah, no doubt.
But they're falling victim to the same things that we fell victim to, or not us, ourselves personally, but... You know, so... There has to be some compassion and understanding. Look, you guys have fallen victim. Let's talk about this. What can we do to stop this?
Abu Sayyid, your mic is really noisy when you're not speaking. Can you mute when you're not talking, please?
So I'm saying that there's an obvious need for help that would prevent, but inshallah, keep them. Yeah, well, don't split that. Will prevent them from continuously falling victim to some of the stuff that's going on in the States. You know? And we're doing things backwards.
What kind of help would you suggest?
Like, let's say, for instance, this guy had a secret marriage with this girl. That mm-hmm. that would make it stop having these secret marriages.
That's a good
jumping
point.
Agreed. Perfect.
You understand? rushing to marry these girls when they ain't got no wallies and stuff like that. Being impressed with these stupid, you know, that's what I was saying. And it also is a lesson. Everybody who thinks they're saved.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's a lesson. It also shows to me that people are human, man. People have some sick perversions, man.
Well, you know, alhamdulillah, for anybody who's in this business like myself, it's a reminder to always have your wife or your daughters with you when you deal with ladies online.
Yep.
As a protection for yourself.
Yes, sir. That's a good point.
You understand? Because you meet a lot of crazies. It's not uncommon. So, alhamdulillah. That's what I would say. I wouldn't defend him, but I would say, look, all three of them is victims, because whatever happened to that mother, that got her to that state too. Something must have happened to her too.
And the pornography too. Like, the pornography has just invaded everything and, like, perverted everyone. So where's the accountability for that? For the production and distribution, right, and everything?
Like, if they came to me and asked me, can we have some pornography, and I would have given it to them, and I would have been charged as a conspirator as well. If they came to me and got it, and I gave it to them, and then they gave that to the girl, you know, they would say he provided it, right?
You know, I think that we when we talked about this whole thing, we kind of skipped over. We didn't mention, which I'm rereading what we went through. The most craziest thing that I thought was that the guy said that, well, allegedly he said that by them doing what they doing, it's progressing their quest to get closer to Allah.
No, he didn't say that. She said that.
Okay.
The mother said that.
No, that wasn't lost on me, but I didn't say anything because I didn't think it was had any value, because it's like, it's the mother who obviously is a new Muslim. That's why I said she's obviously a convert. It's a weirdo convert at that.
I thought we read that he told her that.
No.
That's what she alleged when she went to the police and made her post-Miranda statement.
She didn't even say that he told her that. She said that they sent it to him so he could guide them in their spiritual journey.
Oh, really? Oh, let me see.
Said that. Well, it says, during her training, Sharif told suspect 2 that achieving in
orgasm,
right, would help her spiritually and allow her to communicate with the law better. This is her statement. Can't say that he said that.
I don't know, man. I mean, that's gonna sink him. That makes me even more look at it as a setup.
That's a news headline right there. That's a news headline. That's a soundbite.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a talking point on Fox News.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Definitely. Oh, Allah.
Everybody don't understand their role in this, in preserving Islam. That's what I would say too. People don't understand the role they play in preserving Islam. And how everybody, they're going to use you any way they can to attack Islam as well.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Well, that's our fiqh for today. May Allah, bless us. And so Islam, I would say, what's the solution? The solution is get married, man. Get married. Period.
To good women.
I think.
To as many as you want, too. You know, up to 4. Marry them.
Yeah. I would say the thing we learn here is having taqwa of Allah at all times.
No, you know what? That's a too general. You know, that's not advice, man. You got to give advice that's practical. Saying having taqwa of Allah doesn't give me any solution.
Be mindful that Allah is watching you on your phone and everything, and you'll be exposed.
Okay, well, see, you know, that's a different thing. That's clear advice.
No.
You understand? But if you just have a taqwa of Allah, you know, okay?
Yes, sir.
You know, what is that? You, always when you give advice, give an application. Give me, what can I do?
Yes, sir.
No. Hey, well, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah. May Allah make it easy for us. And more and more and another, I think another objective with spreading this stuff is to make it more widespread, you know?
For sure. Yep. Exactly right.
And us spreading
normalize it.
Yes. That's right.
Spreading what? Spreading what?
Wait, what? I'm confused.
What it? Me too.
They want to normalize. Okay. There's a few things they want to normalize here. Number one, they want to normalize people turning in their Muslim friends for zina, or for online, you know, not exposing the Muslims, whoever these guys are doing that type of stuff like that. Because I know some people's wives are going to say, oh yeah, well, your children was in the room, okay, when you was watching this or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Also, they want to normalize the behavior of people being online doing these types of things. You know, one of the weird things about people is when somebody does something like this, other people seem to, for some reason, want to do the same dumb stuff. Okay? Mm. Like, mm. get online and see each other having sex, or maybe I'm going to trick my daughter into doing that type of stuff. Weirdo stuff like that. Okay? Yeah. It doesn't stop when you hear about it. In fact, this is one of the reasons why those people in the past were better when they did their crimes, because they were shameful. They hid it. To do it openly spreads it. Puts it in people's minds where prior they didn't even think about it. They would have never thought about that. And now they're thinking about it. Okay?
So that's what
I think is one of the objectives here, and some of them. And the other ones are too, to show Islam up and to show, hey, look, these guys are not good people, like you say. It would be amazing if the guy was Philistini or something like that, and that would be something that they would bring out, you know? Or even if they can make him look Arab, if he's an Arab guy or something like that, so then make it seem like, oh, look, these people are, you know, to dehumanize them at that point. Okay? Stop that. Sorry?
No. Just listening.
Yeah, so I think that we need to step up our da'wah as Muslims to help the younger generation, those who are first generation Westerners, who are going to have a hard time having a lot of peers because other immigrants are kuffar. They have a special situation. So things that are normal for everybody, they're not normal for them. And so they're not going to fit in so much, and they have to get used to not fitting in.
Who are you referring to? Like, who?
I'm referring to people who are coming from immigrant families whose parents were born abroad, and they were either born in the United States or born abroad and are being raised in the United States. So they're going to be in a situation where they have to learn how to be American on their own. Okay? And some of that means, well, do I comply with what my friends are doing? And my friends are mostly kuffar. How do I be Muslim and American? And what, you know, and sometimes they get da'wah against them. A lot of times that, yo, you're not doing, it's not Islam, you're just doing your old tradition. Because that's how they try to make it seem. It's not Islam. You're like, I was in the car yesterday, and I told the cab driver, yo, where's your thobe? And he said, you mean Saudi thobe? And I was like, no, man, it's not a Saudi thobe. It's a Muslim thobe. It's an Islamic thobe. We live in Mecca. Why you ain't wearing a thobe, man? You know? And so we get told these things are national. Oh, that's just the national clothes. It got nothing to do with Islam. And I'm like, yo, you serious? And this is what he was really thinking. Nah, this is just our traditional clothing. It's nothing to do with Islam. You know? I want to wear modern clothing. And a reason why I'm mentioning clothing is because how you identify yourself even is mainly in dress. Okay, what you look like. And if you find most of the du'at looking like kufar, non, you know, no distinction, then the person, the young Muslim who's growing up is not going to know how to distinguish himself. Whereas distinction is one of the main, the first points of the deen. Why do we take shahada if distinction is not important? You understand what I'm saying?
No. Understood.
So I think we should step up our efforts at finding ways of expressing this to our brothers and sisters so they would learn ways of distinguishing themselves and not falling victim to the idea of that being an American means to accept everything that is American. Okay? And that you can be American and that means you follow in your deen, you know, according to the Quran and Sunnah, and that, and just, you know, accept being strange. You know? And I say, you know, you were saying about exposing children to pornography. Just the other day, I was watching a cartoon here. Well, I didn't want to watch it, but my children were watching, and I walked in the room. And in the cartoon, they're singing a song. It's a cartoon for children. And one girl goes out and gets some flowers for another girl and gives it to her and gives her a hug. And this is her girlfriend. This is a children's cartoon. And it wasn't outright pornography, but it's taqrabu. It's that step. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so we can't have it both ways. We can't allow that. And say, oh, it's not too much. Come on. They're just two little girls, you know. Because you know in the cartoons, they make the children out to be like adults, but they're dressed like they look like children, but they're doing adult things, right?
Yeah.
So
I know.
You know, here these children, it was a girl came and, you know, ran up another girl hiding. She's hiding behind the tree to get the girl's attention, you know, to see, waits for her opportunity. Then she runs up and gives the girl the flowers, and the girl's like, oh, you see the hearts pop up on the screen, and they hug and kiss. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
This is, now we cut that off, but my, you know, two and a half year old and 4 year old and 7 year old are watching that, thinking, and they're like, oh, they're going to think it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have to be more vigilant as parents to, you know, make sure we watch and monitor what our children are intaking and make sure that it's filtered through an Islamic filter that would not allow the concepts of zina and homosexuality or any other forms of immorality to sink into our children's hearts where it becomes normalized and acceptable. You know, and the least of it is not to say anything about it. No, because, you know, why didn't the imam, when he got exposed to this thing, say, yo, man, this is haram, don't do that.
No. Yeah.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No, a lot of times people say, I was trying to be polite. No, you know, leading to polite led to him jerking off to it.
Mm.
You know? So, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, this is what I think can be said about this. You can't be a passive bystander. That's basically what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You have to take a stand.
You have to take a stand. Okay. Well, alhamdulillah, let's end here. This has been a really interesting class today. We learned a lot, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking, for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.